Along. Okay, good morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is B'Metzia daf Samach Zayim. B'Metzia Samach Zayim. We left off Shabbos' daf. We did Erev Shabbos. We left off Samach Vav Amad Beis in the middle of the page. Hu Gavra, we're in the middle of the sugyas of Asmachta, Asmachta Kanye, Asmachta Leikani, whether Asmachta is a good Kenyan or not. Just actually a quick point to mention on the last Gemaras we had discussed when we learned on Friday. We had discussed that this indication whether or not the person really meant, the person said, if I don't pay back by a certain date, take my field, repossess my field. And the question was whether or not he meant it seriously or not. There was a de, where he says, if this happens, then that should be the result. Did he mean it seriously or he didn't really mean it seriously? Is it a smachta? Is it a real Kenyan or not? So he said, if on the last day he's drinking wine, drinking beer, key point, if on the last day he's drinking beer, that means he's relaxed, he's chilled. That means that he doesn't care, and he's totally fine for the guy to repossess the land. If he's scrambling, that means he didn't really want the guy to repossess the land, and he didn't think it would come to this, and therefore, it was really just an asmachta. He didn't really mean seriously. That was the Gemara's Hagdara. The Gemara then said that no, maybe he's drinking beer, not because he doesn't care, but he's drinking beer to calm himself down, or because he had someone that committed to come up with the money, to lend him the money, the replacement money, and the guy, he expected him to show up, and therefore he's calm. The guy, Taka, didn't show up, but he expected the guy to show up. That's why he's drinking beer. So on the first side of the Gemara, that he's drinking beer because he was calm. So Rashi says that he's drinking beer like we find the concept of intoxicating drinks, making a person feel better, like the pasuk says, "V'yayin yisamach." Rashi quotes the famous pasuk in Tehillim, "Kuf Dalad, yayin yisamach levav enish." Rashi references that pasuk. Now, I'll quote Rashi inside. "Lufik dagasay shadayeg alamayas," to calm down from his daiga, "tichsil," like it says, "V'yayin yisamach." Now, that pasuk is on my yayin, and our Gemara clearly was talking about the guy with shasi shichra, drinking beer. The idea of yayin yisamach levav enish, Pashas, we would think, is a concept of wine. Wine gladdens the heart. Beer, not everything that's intoxicating necessarily gladdens the heart. Rashi clearly is connecting that getting rid of the daiga and bringing simcha to the person, wine to beer as well. And the Guyen Yashas, the Yashas, base of Engel, brings a raya from this Rashi that when it comes to a mitzvah, we just had Yom Tov Pesach, when it comes to a mitzvah of drinking wine because of Simchas Yom Tov, one would be able to be mekayim that mitzvah with beer as well, because you see from Rashi, Rashi's connecting Yayin Yisamach to beer. Our Gemara clearly is talking about beer, and it says Yayin Yisamach. Interestingly, we find opposite when it comes to the mitzvah of Chayiv Inish Lebesume on Dav Zayin in Megillah, famous Gemara where Kam Rabba Shachtel, I think it was Bezerah, but where it talks about Chayiv Inish Lebesume Adli Adab in Baruch Mordechai to Ar Haman. So over there, to discuss a person b'chuyev to be besume, Rashi says a person has to get drink and become intoxicated b'paraya on Purim. Rashi says with yayin. And over there, it seems that the yayin is dafka. It's not any mili de mishtakri, anything which makes him shikr. Rather, dafka wine is the chiyev and not anything else. And the first one discussed, it's really Gemara over there in Megillah, that over there could be different because over there we know the whole story, all the different major focal points throughout the Megillah happened over Suda's Yayin. Different things happened. They went to Achashverosh Suda. Esther, you know, pleaded her case in front of Achashverosh. But with wine, there was many of the happenings happen through wine, and therefore maybe wine plays a special role, and therefore dafka, the mitzvah by Purim, is to the psume with drinking wine as opposed to other matters, other items that intoxicate, but by the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, the Gemara Shas is saying, indeed, for this Rashi, that it would be okay to use beer. Okay, let's go further. We're in the middle of the Amud Hugavra. We're up to Hugavra, smack him on the page, on Simchas Yom Tov base. We have a little bit to catch up. There's a fellow who sold his friend a field, Bechrayas, with Bechrayas, if it gets taken away, I'm going to replace it. Amalei. So the buyer said to the seller, Itar Filaminai, Magvislimi Idi Idis Dislach. So the buyer asked the seller, if he gets taken away from you, will I be able to come and take back the Idi Idis, the best of the best that you have? Amalei, the seller said, no. I'm not willing to give you the best of the best to be in the make of Mekabai, because then I want to keep for myself. Ella, but I will give you Magbinalach Bedias Achirim Disli. I will give you from my other idiots. I'm just not giving you the Spitz best of the best, but I'll give you from the better quality, the idiots that I have. I will give you regular idiots that I will give you. L'saif, Tarfumine. In the end, the land was taken away from the buyer. The land that was sold, that the seller has sold to the buyer, Bachrayas, it was seized from the buyer, which gives him right to come get back from the idiots, not the idiots, but the idiots of the seller. Also, bitka, shakla, idiots. But then, in the interim, a flood came and it ruined the idiot, the best of the best field that the seller had. So now, what was the shayla? Can the buyer still go and get the idiot? What's the tzadim? The tzad they can get it is because that was committed. That's what was committed. It's still available. Let them take it. The tzad not is because when was it committed? When there was something better. But you see that the seller already said, I don't want to give you the best of my best. Well, the best of his best was now gone. It was unfortunately destroyed by a flood. So now what was his second best became his best of the best. So maybe now the buyer cannot take that product. Says the Gemara, Sofer Rav Papa Lemeimer, Midyas Amalei, V'Hakayimei. Rav Papa thought to say, since the seller said he committed, he would remunerate the buyer with idyas, and idyas exists, the buyer's entitled. V'Hakayimei. Amei Rachav Adivti Ravina, Rachav Adivti, says Ravina, V'Lei Malei, let the seller tell the buyer, Ki Amila Anach. When did I tell you I would give you idiots? Have the idiots come out? Because I had idiots. I had better than that. I was keeping the best of the best myself, and I was giving you the layer below that. The level right below that, I was giving you. But now that my idiots was destroyed by the flood, so what used to be of idiots is considered my idiots, and that land, I still want to keep that quality land I want to keep, which he wasn't. Taking back his commitment to give him anything, but he wanted to give him now from the lower level, namely from the bainness, and not from the Yis Bechal. And that would seem to be, it seems like Ravacha Medifti is telling Ravina that the guy would have a legitimate claim that I wanted to keep my best for myself, so I'm always going to give you a level below that, and therefore now that my best is idiots, you're going to only be able to get bainness. Rav Shaba, the connection over here is again, it's this idea of a smachta. It's the idea of what was the commitment in the smachta. That's the conversation between really Rav Papa, or the argument of Papa, and Rav Acha Medifti to Ravina. Yes.
No. To your point, no, I would say that there's only one other level of idyas. He may have multiple fields, but they all were that second level. And he committed only to give his level below the best that he has. So now that he may have a few fields of this idyas level, idyas is gone. Idiots he has, but he has a few fields, but they're all the same level. He can go now to the bainness. But again, but just getting back to Reed Dyer's point, I think he's absolutely correct that what the Gemara is being approved, this Gemara is going, that at least this type of asmachta is kaina. Achrayis, of course, that's a regular Kenyan. But the asmachta is kaina, and the question is, what was in the asmachta? Was it to give his idiots, or was it to give his second best? That's the discussion. The Gemara brings another story with Rav Papa. Rav Bar Shaba, have masabe Rav Kana Zuzi. Rav Bar Shaba, he owed money to Rav Kana. Amalei, Ilei Pernach Liam Plaini Gavim Haichamra. If I don't pay you by this date, you can take from me this wine. You can go take this wine from me, repossess it in lieu of the payment. And there was obviously a market price, and they agreed to that price. But the whole thing was an asmachta in the sense that Rav Bar Shaba was anticipating being able to pay back before that date. What happened? That date came out. That date hit the calendar. And the money wasn't paid back. So Rav Papa thought to say that when do we say asmachta is not a kinyan? That's dafka by ara. To love is money kaima. A person doesn't really want to sell his land, and if we say asmachta is not kaina by land, when a guy commits to give land back for a debt that he's supposed to pay back in time, and he doesn't pay it back in time, it doesn't really mean it because people don't typically sell land. Avol chamra. Wine is very normal to be sold. So maldi wine, maldi money. It's just like I was going to pay you money back whenever at a certain date, or if not before, or definitely if not before, then after, but I'm going to pay you back wine. I'm going to pay back money. So wine is like money, and therefore, what's the difference? And therefore, asmachta would be kind. Wouldn't be an issue of asmachta kanya. Avad over here, it would be kind. And the guy could take the wine. Amat layer of Funabre Drav Yeshua Rav Papa. So Funabre Yeshua said to Rav Papa, Hachem Yeshua Drabba, call De'i Laikani. Anytime you have a lashon of De'i, if this and this happens, then I'll pay you back. De'i is asmachta and not kaina. So we had two Gemaras in a row with ideas of asmachta where Rav Papa was saying that in the first case, that the fellow could still collect the idiots because that was committed and that's still around. And in the first case was Rav Difter Ravini said that no, because since that idiots became his best, till now he had idiots. Now that he does have idiots is best. You only should be able to collect from the bainness. So we had several of Papa Lemeimer. It sounds like Papa thought to say, but he was kind of corrected. And here again as well, several of Papa to say that the wine should certainly go to Rav Kahana in lieu of the money that Rabbi Bar Shaba owned because he made it a real full-fledged. It's not even if you own the smachtel zaykana. Over here, it's a full-fledged commitment because what's mali wine, mali money? And the answer again was that no, whenever you have a de'i, something which is tully in a condition, whenever it's di, it's going to be a smachta like kind. We discussed last time, we're going to go back into it again, we're a little bit behind, but we discussed last time how we differentiate between a smachta and tanai. Remember, we had a couple of explanations, what the chilik between whether it's tully, one sabi das achir, one sabi das atzmai, or whether it's exaggerated, or whether it's the three, or whether it's a, not just exaggerated, or it's like a knas. Those are the three explanation, so we just went through them. The explanation, the Rishonim we gave, whether or not it should be considered a smachta or a tanai. We know this concept of tanai, and that everyone agrees works. So all of a sudden over here, we say a smachta, we're saying kol de'i, any if. Isn't if essentially a condition? And the answer is that when the condition is either exaggerated, or like a knas, which seems to be a little bit similar, those ideas, or it's a knas, or it's tully bedas, tully bedas atzmai, then we say, it's that's more of an asmachta. If it's not exaggerated, not a knas, or it's tolbedas achirim, then again these are the three malchim and the shenim, Ramban, the Rush, the Rabbeinu Tam. Then we say that it's a. Then we say that if it doesn't have those criteria, then we say it would be a tanai. Okay, on this idea of kol de'ilei kani, on this concept, there is an interesting shaila from Reb Zilberstein Shlita. Just I know we're short of time, but it's just an interesting point, and there's a bigger muster to come out of the point. It was sent him the following shaila. A school made up a kind of like a challenge to the students that whoever gets the highest mark on a certain test will be zeicha to this prize, grand prize, second best mark gets this prize, and so on and so forth. Whoever gets a mark above this gets this prize. A whole different whole tiered system for prizes for how they do on their the year end or their post Pesach test. And the shaila was afterwards that they learned the sugya over here in Bamitzia, and they came to the idea of kol de'ilei kani. So they wanted to know, are we mechuyev to give the prizes? The whole thing was a de. Right? The whole thing was an agreement of D'i. If it's a D'i, it's a smachta. If you hold a smachta is like Kanye, we're not mechuyev. That's the shayla. Are we mechuyev or not if a smachta is like Kanye? So he said two points. I mean, the second point I think is going to be fairly obvious, but it's an important point just to remind ourselves. But the first point was interesting. The first point was from a halachic perspective that he said, over here, you're absolutely obligated. Why? Because a smachta is only if it may or may not happen. If you say that if someone gets 100, they'll get this prize. And if someone gets 95, they get that prize, that could be D'i, that could be an asmachta. But the way you set up your challenge was, the highest mark gets this, the second highest mark gets that. Since you set up a challenge where someone's guaranteed to get the highest mark, and someone's guaranteed to get the second highest mark, so the way you set it up is not asmachta. It was more of a guarantee, and therefore it's for sure going to be kaina. Number one. So your whole chayla is not a good connection to asmachta because it's not called D. There's not a classic D. Therefore you're mechayev. But then he writes number two. Even if you'd say that asmachta is like kanya and your case fell into let's say they were set up in a way where it was whoever gets 100 gets this prize, whoever gets 98 gets this prize, where it would be a D because someone may not get the 100 or the 98. So maybe over there it would fit the criteria of asmachta, and maybe. If we all smach like Kanye, you wouldn't absolutely be mechuyev din, but you'd still be mechuyev. Why? Because you're dealing with children, and the children, they're not going to take over here the nuance of a smach to Kanye, smach like Kanye. What will the children take out of this? You're allowed to lie. You're allowed to make a commitment. You're allowed to give your word, and then not honor your word. That's what they're going to take out of it. They're not going to take anything more of a lamdish sugya of maybe some mature child will take out that message. And again, it's still not a good message, but that they should operate that way l'chatchila. But the point is that most of the children will just take out the message that it's okay to lie, and that's a terrible message. And therefore, regardless, you have to honor your commitment, even if asmachta is like kind of, and your case would be an asmachta, which he held it wasn't. Okay, so that's more further. Omer Nachman, hashtam rabban asmachta like kind of, we say the rabban hold asmachta is not a kinyan. So when you have to give back the land, let's say the lender in our case repossessed the land, he has to give it back. Not only does he have to give back the land, he has to give back the land and he has to give back the peiros, which introduces a new idea. I mean, Rav Nachman holds that you don't even say there's a mechila on that, which we all thought that the asmachta was kinda, and therefore the lender took the land and he got the peiros. There may have been a thought to say that the lender is at least mechil the peiros that the borrower is meichel to the lender, the payers that the lender got in the interim, because we thought it was a good deal. It wasn't, but the payers itself doesn't come back. Kamashman, you know, if you meichel that, ask the Gemara, the Rebbe Zerv Nachman, is that Zerv Nachman always mechil b'tayis, not mechila? That a mechil b'tayis is not a mechila? Meaning, it was clearly mechil b'tayis, because everyone thought that the deal was a good deal. Now that we learned it's not a good deal, land goes back and the payers go back, which means a mechila b'tayis is not a mechila, and even the payers have to go back. Is that so? But Nachman himself says the opposite way. V'etmar, ha-mecha payers tekel chaveri, a person sells payers tekel chaveri. He sells the payers of a tree, the future payers of a tree to his friend. Now this would really be davar sabalelum. We'll get back to that detail in a second. Rashi explains why this is maybe slightly different. Amar Avuna, until the payers comes to existence, the seller can withdraw from the sale. Mishbalelim, once the peri has come into existence, then ein yachlaksbari, he can't withdraw from the sale. That's the psak of Rav Huna. From Nachman Amar, afishbalelim, yachlaksbari, even when the peri has come to develop, the seller can withdraw from the sale, this meaning because the sale has no status. V'yamar Rav Nachman, Medina di shavet v'achel, amayda, that if the buyer removed the tree and ate the pears, removed the pears from the tree, and ate the pears off the tree, if he ate it as it came, so then the seller cannot long go and say, yeah, I'm undoing the sale, and give back the pears he already ate. Those pears he can't take back, the seller cannot take it back from the buyer. The idea is because since he did the sale, even though the sale wasn't a good sale because it was a davash labailam, it wasn't a valid sale, since at least he thought it, they both parties thought it was a sale, and at the point where the buyer ate the pears, it was called a mechila b'tayis. The buyer can keep those pears that he already ate. Here, Rav Nachman's agreeing that mechila b'tayis is a good mechila, and we just said before by a smachla kind of Rav Nachman holds that the hundred peri that there's no mechila b'tayis on the peris. What's the difference? Where says a very basic difference. We've had this multiple times already in this parak, this kulik, when it comes to cases that can appear like ribbis. Hasam zvini hachalva. You can't compare a sale to halva. Clearly, over there was a sale. By a sale, we could say mechila b'tayis is okay. By halva, we don't want to allow mechila b'tayis because at the very least, it could look like ribbis. Mechila b'tayis has other problems, even though nobody says mechila b'tayis is a good mechila, but when it comes to an appearance of ribbis, it looks like the lender got extra because he gave a loan. That is, again, it's only ribbis drabanan, but it looks like ribbis, and therefore it's still a problem. That's why mechila b'tayis pas doesn't work by smachta, even though elsewhere it does work. Now, just to clarify this case, Rav Nachman saying it doesn't work because it's dovish abayalim, like we typically hold. Rav Huna seems to be saying that the sale, to an extent, does work. Meaning, you can be chayzer till the payers come into existence. But once they come into existence, you cannot be chayzer according to Rav Huna. So Rashi elaborates. Rashi says, we go into Rashi, we'll read two Rashis inside. It's about 12 lines off the bottom of the page. In balachzabai kaid meshechanto payers. If you want to be chayzer before the payers bloomed, before the payers, you know, came into existence at all, chayzer. Shabalilim. Rashi first qualifies, even according to the opinion, says davar shabalilim. You can make a kinyan. You only can't retract once the item came to the veld. But once it, before it came to the veld, even though my number says that the kinyan's chal, you can still retract for the kinyan before it comes to the veld. But here's the part really that we need the next line of Rashi. The chiddush is the other way. Because Pashas behold, besides our mayor sheet, we had recently, a mayor holds a person can make kinyan davar shabalilim. We Pashas hold a person can make kinyan davar shabalilim. So as over here, is it working? Says Rashi. Mishabalo elam ena yachlav. So once it comes to the veld, you can't be chaser. Tikasavar ada makna davar shabalilim. This Gemara is going according to that opinion. Which again, Rashi kind of qualifies that it would seem to be even in Ramer. Even in Ramer, it only works once it comes by Elam. So according to Chamim, which is Nachman's Paskening, according to Chamim, we're saying Avada doesn't work even after it's by Elam. You still can be Chayzer because Davash Babam, the king doesn't work B'chlal. But according to the other Shita, Pashas says the Shita of Ramer, and the others who hold, you could make the Shreilam, it's once the item's in the veld, that's when it's chal. That's what's chal. That's why you make a criteria of mishabal ilam. That's going in the mandarbin that you makdav shalom, mishabal ilam. Once it's in the veld, the kinyan is chal, and you cannot retract. Okay, there's a little bit speaking on this from the Rishayim on this idea of davar shalom, kinyan shalom. Let's go further. Let's cover more of today's daf, and then we will plan to come back to machlekes rush, revush. What speak out the machlekes actually with the main issue with davar shalom? Is it an issue? Is it gshmak hashayla? Is it an issue that Chorinim explain in their machlekes? The shayla is it an issue of when somebody's not b'ayilam, he can't make a kinyan, and physically a kinyan can't take place on davar shalom, or it's not a physical issue. It's a smichas das issue. Somebody's not ba'ilam, you're not semich das. The buyer, let's say the seller, says he's selling it to the buyer, but the buyer's not really semich das on an item that's not ba'ilam, and therefore he doesn't have a full-fledged kinyan. Is that the problem? Or it's a problem in the dasha, but in the mechanics. You can't have a kinyan be affected on something that doesn't exist yet. It's a lamdash machlaikas. We'll get back to later if we have more time, where that plays a role. Okay, says the Gemara. Amarava. We're right at the bottom of Samach Vav on Beistel. Amar Rav, top of Samach Zayim Nachos. Havyasvina kamei Rav Nachman. I was sitting before Rav Nachman, ubayla svi aina, and I wanted to ask him a question from the halachas of aina. V'udik, a little bit of a vig, a very cryptic Amar right here. V'udik, and he heard my question. He heard what I, or before I even asked it. He saw what I wanted to ask from aina. And chazasan ilanus, and he showed me back. He responded to me ilanus. This is like, you know, the conversation of like big tamid chamim where they just reference black gemara, they reference sigis back and forth. They don't even have the conversation. So the gemara now explains what was going on in this uh, in this kind of hint, remiza conversation between Rava and Rav Nachman. Here's the question. Rava's question that he was going to ask to Rav Nachman was as follows. The case of Ina, the Mechila B'tayis, see, that's a classic case of Mechila B'tayis, Vlad Mechila, by another halacha is, we know from the prior Gemaras, last parak, that Ina, a person is off by a sixth, exactly, that's what we call Ina. More than that, it's called Bet HaMekach. When it's off by Mamash the sixth, it's Ina. The halacha is the Mekach is Kayim, but you return the Ina should be returned. So let's go a case where the buyer is overcharged. By a six, you return the note to the buyer. Now, why are you returning it? It's a mechila. Mechila b'tayis, but it's a mechila. And what do we say? Stuff to return. It's a raya, 11 mechila. You have a case of a sale with a mechila b'tayis, and we're saying that it's not a mechila. Rav Nachman says that, we just explained there in Rav Nachman, that by halva, you say mechila b'tayis, not a mechila. But by a sale, mechila b'tayis is a mechila. Here we see by now you don't say that. And Rav Nachman heard, understood where I was going with the question. I didn't even have to verbalize the question. I was referencing Aina, and right away answered me from Aylinus. What was the answer from Aylinus? Aylinus is a woman who can't have children, and she gets married, which is considered a marriage betayis. So the halacha is, let's say the mechil betayis. It's a case of mechil betayis because they got married. But there was the expectation that she'd be able to have children, and now that she can't, that she was unable to have children, it was a tais. And over there we see half mechila, it is a mechila. Ditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Yivam, in Ksuvis, Davkuf. Ditnan, Hamamenes, Vashnia, Va'ailanis, Ein Lehem Leksuva, Vle Paris. The Mamenes, the Shnia, Mamenes is a girl who got married by her brother slash mother, father's out of the picture. She got married as a katana by her brother slash mother, it's a marriage drabbanon, and she has the right to opt out before it becomes a marriage deraisa. When she turns bas mitzvah, when she becomes a gedela, she can opt out. So when she opts out, or Shnia, Shnia is someone that got married. Midaraisa, it's a good marriage. But midarabanan, it's an isser of erev. It's a shnia, this mamish, the parshias. Achrayim is kadeshim, right? We just learned achrayim is yesterday, and kadeshim is this coming Shabbos. We talk about arayas. The chumul geyser on shnias la arayas. So something which is not directly an erva, it's one step removed from an erva. And the chumul geyser, they shouldn't be married. They got married and they got divorced because they weren't supposed to be married. The illness, or case of an illness, where that's the main focus that we're focused on, where there's the tais over here, where they got married, unaware that she was an illness. In all these cases, Einlam, like Suva, the wives are not entitled to Suva. Filet Paris, the Bailam don't get a refund, the wives don't get a refund for the Paris the Bailam took in the interim. Filet Belayas, nor a payment for the mezainis. The husband doesn't get paid back for the mezainis, or really the other way. Let's say she took on some debt for a mezainis, which the husband normally is going to pay her for. Over here, she won't get paid back for that mezainis. Filet b'leis, and the worn-out clothing, the stuff that she brought to the marriage, the husband doesn't have to give back to her. So in all these cases, we're saying, l'chayre, it was a mechila b'tayis, and yet the mechila chal, she doesn't get these items. So Rav Nachman was showing that we see mechila b'tayis does work as a mechila. And the Mara now says, but the whole Shaka Pataya is mistaken. Why? V'lohi, lo'i aina hafet yifta. Aina wasn't a question that we see over there. The Mechila Pataya is by sale, not a Mechila. And v'le'anis misayile. And Alanis isn't a proof to Rav Nachman that Mechila Pataya is a Mechila. Why not? The Mara explains. Lo'i na tifta, aina ta'a tifta, lo'i adat yisei aina t'machabe. There was no knowledge that there was enough b'chlal to be Mechil. Meaning, Mechil B'tayis means that I didn't know the transaction was no good, but I knew what I was doing, and I was Meichel. Right? And I knew that I'm allowing this guy, let's go back to the case of the Asmachta. The Asmachta by the telling the guy, you can take my field if I don't pay by a certain date. So Asmachta's like, kind of, I was still willing to give you the field, and certainly willing to give you the Paris as well. So it's a Mechila B'tayis in the sense that the Asmachta wasn't a full Kenyan, that you should be able to repossess this field from me in exchange for the debt that I owe you, but I knew what I was doing, I knew what I was getting into, and therefore the mechila on a tayis type of transaction, the mechila can still be a mechila. But by the aina, the guy didn't know there was an aina bechlal. He threw his regular sale, so he didn't know to really be meichel. That's a stronger level of tayis, we'll call it. And over there, mechila b'tayis is taka. That's why it's not a mechila. Even Rav Nachman agrees that's a mechila b'tayis that wouldn't work. So it wasn't a kasha from aina in the first place. V'la'ainas mesayle, and on the flip side, aina wasn't a raya to nichle tepeklash b'adishas, because in a way, the woman doesn't want everything to go back. She doesn't want it to be that she's entitled to get back all of the the monies or all the commitments as if the marriage never happened in the first place. Because for her reputation, the fact that it looks like she was married and divorced and the marriage wasn't uprooted as a full-fledged tayis, but rather whatever happened till now, whatever the husband ate till now, the parents he ate till now, is he gets to keep. In fact, he gets to keep it. That kind of cements it that there was epis of marriage here, and that helps her prospects going forward. It's an interesting concept because we don't want someone else to be fooled. On the other hand, for her, from her perspective, for her reputation, she'd rather be understood that she was married, and therefore don't be arrived from over there that mechila b'tayis is a mechila, and therefore even though Menachem wanted to bring a raya to the mechila b'tayis being mechila by sale, it's a raya is not a good raya for my illness, but he didn't need the raya to deflect the kasha because I know it wasn't ever a good question in the first place because that was worse than a kasha mechila b'tayis. The person had no idea b'chlal that he was being tricked, so to speak, and therefore it wasn't a classic Mechil B'tayis that was saying the Mechila works. So it really is, we're qualifying now. The words Mechil B'tayis could be, you know, a very general term and could be misleading. We're not saying every Mechil B'tayis is a Mechila. We're saying where the guy knew what he was being Meichel, but, you know, maybe was unaware of a Smachta Leikanya, that's okay, that's called a Mechila, and that Mechila has an effect. But where a person was totally unaware that he's being cheated in the first place, then the Mechila, even Mechil B'tayis, would not be a Mechila, even according to Nachman. Okay. Says Gemara, Hietzah, story time. Get back to Ribbis. Hayitza. There was an Isha, the Amr Lo Gavra, that said that she said to a certain man, Zil Zavinli Aramikavai, go act as like a shliach for me and buy land for one of my relatives. Azal Zavinla, he went and bought land for her, as instructed. Amr Le, and he said to the seller, said to this broker, the shliach, if I have money, I don't really want to sell land. Like, you know, we've been saying, people really don't want to sell unless they're desperate. So he's saying, when I have money, I want you to be able to buy it back. I want you to sell back to me. Amalei, so the shliach said back, at v'navla achi. You and Navla are relatives. Now, who's Navla? Who's Navla? So it's interesting. Rashi brings, in the first shot, Rashi brings that Navla means, it's a way of saying, you and the woman that are acting on their behalf are you're like relatives. You'll figure it out yourselves amongst yourselves. That shouldn't be a concern. What does Navla mean? So Rashi's first person says Navla just means it's a way of saying you, him or her. You and the person that I'm dealing with, Navla is a way of saying him or her. Rashi then just brings that Rashi brings for that's Lashon Arami, Bein Zachar Bein Nekeva. When you want to say you and him or you and her, you say at v'Navla. That's what Rashi brings first. But then Rashi says, that's not Mistaver. That's Vani Omer Shizeshema. I say that, no, the woman that was sending this guy as a shliach to buy the land, her name was actually Navla. That was actually her name. Her name was Navla. And that's why he said, at the Navla. And some of the first to speak out, I don't want to say riot to Rashi, but the reason perhaps, maybe explanation of Rashi, why Rashi didn't like that pshat that are being from that Lashon Arami is that the Navla can mean him or her, it's a way of saying him or her, because you don't find this anywhere else in Shas. There's plenty of stories and plenty of cases referring to a him and a her, and we don't see Lashon of Navla. So why is the dafka over here? Well, Mistarvet, that was actually her name in the story. Okay. Either way, the shliach said to the seller, you and Navla are relatives, you'll figure it out. Amar Rav Huna, Kalat v'Navla, Achi Amar, V'loi Samchadaita, V'loi Gamar Umakni. Anytime that you say, You and Navla are achi. I mean, you're relatives. You'll figure it out. That's a real smichas das. That's considered a good smichas das. And therefore, he wasn't maknit, you know, fully without any restrictions. Meaning, the kinyan does really have this tanai involved, and he has the right to get back the land if he comes up with the money. Once he comes up with the money, he has a right to get back the land. Essentially, it is a good tanai. It's not just amanas machta, it's a good tanai, and he can get back this land. Arahadra, perimai, tomorrow's like, you're fine. So you tell me it was a real restriction, and it was a conditional sale, and therefore he can get back the land if he comes up with the money. What's going to be with the payris that the buyer, that Navla in our case, ate in the interim? What's going to be the payris? Says so Gemara, Ribbis Ketutza Havei, V'yetz Badyanim. Is it effectively Ribbis Ketutza? Because think of what's happening over here. It's a real condition that the land was sold from the seller to this, through this agent to Navla, and the seller has a right to buy it back at that price, which effectively makes it that the seller was getting a loan and just paying back the loan. In the interim, Navla's eating, getting paid back for the money, and eating the payris. That's like ribbis. You gave back your money that you lent, plus the payris. Says the Gemara, ribbis tutsi v'yetz b'dyanim is a ribbis tutsa, and therefore it's yetz b'dyanim. Is it ribbis d'araisa, and therefore you can make the animal can earlier. We passed like a Rabbi Elazar Shita that Ribbis Ketutza, Ribbis Daraisa is Yetzi B'Dyanim, or is it only Avak Ribbis, Ribbis Drabanan, and therefore it's not Yetzi B'Dyanim. Amar Bavuna, Mistavik Avak Ribbis Havis, Mistavik Avak Ribbis Vein Yetzi B'Dyanim, Vechinim Rava, Rava, Ki Avak Ribbis Havein Yetzi B'Dyanim. It's Mistavik, it's like Avak Ribbis, not Ribbis Daraisa, and therefore it's not Yetzi B'Drabanan. The Farshim point out that Avad still is a mitzvah to be Yetzi. Let's say Shemayim, and therefore even by back ribbis, the lender, so to speak, or in this case, the buyer, Navla, should give it back, but it wouldn't be something that's yaitza b'dayanim. Amar by the Rabba, mashkanta mai. What about a mashkin? What about instead of a sale, there was a mashkin? So the lender, he lent money to a borrower. The borrower gave a field as a collateral, and the lender was able to eat from that field in the interim from the mashkin. So what's the shaila? Husb type of mai? You tell me by the case before, by the sale, mashim lay katzle. Maybe the reason over there why it's not considered ribbis ksutza is because there wasn't a arranged amount, right? If you notice before, it was just the novel was able to eat the paris in the interim, but there wasn't a fixed amount of ribbis that was supposed to be given. And here too, by a mashkin, where the land is a mashkin and the paris are not fixed, they could be more or less payers. Therefore, it's not cuts, and therefore it's not Ribbis Daraisa. Or we say, no. Over there, the reason why we didn't consider like Ribbis Ketutza is because the whole thing was a sale. It wasn't really a loan. We said it's like a loan since the seller has a right and an option to buy it back. So effectively, it's behaving like a loan if he buys it back. So therefore, it's like a loan, and therefore, it's Avak Ribbis. But it wasn't Ribbis Ketutza because it really was a sale. It wasn't a loan. Over here, it's Mamish a loan. Over here, the lender lent money to the borrower. The field is a mashkin against the loan, and therefore, maybe this is more like Ribbis Daraisa, and therefore, B'yetzi B'dayanim. Amarlei, Hasdai Mamishin Leikatzei, Achlam Leikatzei. So Rabba responded, Tabai, no, the main issue, the reason why it's not considered Ribbis Ketutza, because it wasn't a fixed amount, and that applies over here, even by the case of mashkin, just like applied over there by the case of the sale. Amar Rav Papi. Of Ravina Uvda, Ravina did a psak in a case where a field was sold and then the seller redeemed back that field. And the question was about the payers that were eaten in the interim by the buyer. He made a cheshbon of how much the payers was, and the buyer had to pay back the payers as well, which means he was being mitzi. Not only now was the field going back, but he might see the payers. He treated it like Ribbis Ketutza. He treated it as Yetzi B'Dyanim. Like Rav Huna said, that it's Avak Ribbis, and you can't extract it in court. He held that you can extract it even in court. He held that it has a status of Ribbis. Amar Marbrei, Derav Yetzim Mishmei Derava. Hamashkanta. This idea of Mashkin, Basim Salki, in a place where the minig is that the borrower can throw the lender off the property by paying back the loan. So if the lender went and ate payris that equals the amount of the loan, misakinally. So the case like this: Reuven lent Shimon $1,000. Shimon gave Reuven a field as collateral, and the halacha in this place is that whenever Shimon pays back Reuven the money, he can throw Reuven off the field. In this case, Reuven ate over the course of 6 months $1,000 worth of payris. So the halacha is for that alone, Reuven can be sent off the field. Shimon can send off the field and say, "Get back on field." Achal tefei. But what happens if Reuven ate more than the $1,000? Lemaf kiminei. So even though Reuven is able to be sent off the field for the $1,000 that he ate, if he remained on the field and ate more than it, we don't take it back away. That's not considered Ribbis Ketutza. It's Ribbis. It's a Avak Ribbis, and he can't be made to the extra payers that Reuven ate from Reuven. And not only that, if let's say Shimon owed Reuven other money separate from this debt, other money. So there was this karka was given as a collateral as a mashkin for debt. You know, called debt A. There was a separate debt B, and Reuven had eaten extra payers over and above debt A, so maybe apply that as a credit to a different debt? No. Let me chashinu mishtar l'shtar, you can't be machash of it from one star to another star. But he asked me, but in case of Yisayimim, since the Bezdin is like the Avi Yisayimim, Ach HaShir Zuzay, Misakinle, Avada, once the lender eats the Shir Zuz, the Yisayimim can pounce him off the land, and Ach HaTvei, Mavkinim, Mechashinu mishtar l'shtar. If he ate more than that, then we do apply that as a credit to other debt. Amar Rashi. Now that you told me that when the lender ate more than what the debt was worth, you might see. If you tell me that when he ate more, you don't make him pull out of his pocket and pay back, so that even when he ate the amount of money that of the loan, you shouldn't be able to evict him from the land without a repayment of the loan. Why? Think about it. getting rid of him, throwing the lender off the property without giving him money, is essentially saying, we're making you pay back for the payers that you ate. But we're saying the payers that we ate, were not ribbis ksutza, it's avak ribbis. And avak ribbis not yetzi b'day on him. So the same way you're not going to make him pay if he ate extra payers, even the payers that he ate that corresponds to the loan, he shouldn't be able to use that to pay down the loan. That should be what he ate as avak ribbis. It's not a great thing. It's avak ribbis. Maybe he should want to pay it back, but you shouldn't be able to send him off the field without paying him back the loan, because then you're being mitzi avak ribbis. Says Gemara, apukimine have avak ribbis. Taking it from him is effectively avak ribbis. Avak ribbis, ena yates b'dianim. Avak ribbis doesn't come out b'dianim. And therefore, Ashi argues and says that not only does not have to pay back that which he eats over and above the amount of the loan, even what he ate up corresponding to the loan need not be paid back because it's avak ribbis, and that would be considered being mitzi b'dianim, and therefore he need not. It's interesting calling that mitzi. You're not taking money from his pocket. You're just not letting him keep what he took. So it's interesting that that's called being mitzi, but according to Rashi, he's saying that's called being mitzi, and therefore you still have to pay back the debt, otherwise you can't push him off the land. Of Ravashi Uvda, Bisem Kitanim. Ravashi Taka did a Psak Lameisa by a story of Yisem Kitanim, Tapam Beis, Kigadalim. We treated them as if they were Gedalim. And he ruled that you cannot, so the double Chumrah. First of all, he did like his own Psak, that you don't bounce him off the field without paying him his debt. Even though he ate Paris, he still got to pay him his full debt, number one. And number two, he also treated Yisem Kitanim like Gedalim, and he wasn't Makel to we had earlier a svara that even if it's more than the debt and you're not mitzi for Yisem Yimitzi, he'll know that you're not mitzi for Yisem Yimitanim, and you need to pay back the full amount of the loan in order to get the lender off the property. Amar Rava Brei, Rav Yisem Shpeit Rava, Hai Mashkanta B'Asim Salki. Again, a maskin in the place where the borrower is, the agreement is the borrower can pay back the loan and bounce the lender off the property at any time, as long as he pays back the loan. Le'nechal el ben chaisa, the lender should only be eating by deducting from the debt. The tzivra banan afim chaisa le'nechal, and a tzivra banan a tamach chacham, who people are, you know, they watch them more closely, see what they do. A tzivra banan, a young, literally means a young Torah, young tamach chacham, but a tzivra, any tamach chacham afim chaisa le'nechal shni even chaisa, because it has a bad appearance, it can look close to ribbis. El by nechal asked Gemara, then how could he ever eat the payris of a land that was given to him as a collateral? Bikitusa, if you have a kitusa there, if you make some sort of arrangement where you say, here, this is, I lent you money, and exchange, the Gemara doesn't elaborate exactly what it is, but in exchange for the money, let's say I lent you $1,000, you have the rights to payris for the next 4 years at a rate of $250 a year. You have a right, that's what will pay back the debt. So it's really like a sale. It's a partial, it's a rental, it's a sale. That's a real transaction. That's okay. That has no shmek of ribbis at all. Rashi just points out that Betzir Rabbanin, he has to be more careful. Why does Betzir Rabbanin have to be more careful? Look at Rashi. Shatzarech liasher drachav uleskadesh. Rashi Lechor is quoting two famous psukim, Vasisi Yashav Atayv. The first will explain that Rashi is referencing liasher drachav is Vasisi Yashav Atayv. Uleskadesh is our parish of Gedeshim to you. Our parish of Gedeshim to you, that's uleskadesh. He has to be Miskadish afamutaloi, right? Kadeshim to you, be Mikadish yourself, even that which is mutal to you, he has to be more scrupulous. The Ramban actually says about both these psukim, right, which Rashi is referencing, and the Ramban elaborates about this idea of Vasisi Yashatayev and Kadeshim to you. This is that concept of a person going beyond the letter of the law. There's the letter of the law, and then there's a concept of a person being Lefnim Mishu Sadin. It's a person doing more than even that which is mutter, still saying Kadosh Atzma Mutalcha, being Machmer in that, which is even Mutter. Ramban writes, elaborates, famous Ramban, this is good from, even if one doesn't learn Ramban on the Chumash on a weekly basis, this is a Ramban that is a must-see, this is Ramban in Parash Kedoshim, and the Torah couldn't account for all possibilities, all scenarios, the Torah would be gone forever. And therefore the Torah writes a very big aside that a person has to apply a concept that we know there's clear black and white mitzvahs, and this we'll quote vague situations, there's situations that are not gray but aren't exactly accounted for, spoken about in the Torah, and a person has to act in a derech of kedusha, act of the way the Torah was won from us. He should not become what the Rambam refers to as a manuvel b'rishus haTorah, that technically speaking, he's not becoming for any iser, but he can somehow still be a manuvel b'rishus haTorah. Famous idea from the Rambam, and Rashi Lechor is kind of alluding to that by saying, to Rabbanan, even something that's mutter for someone else, to Rabbanan should be more machmir and not dabble in this ribbis-like transaction. Al tzvasis yesh ratoiv, and al tzkeshim to you. Okay, I know it's very late. Let's just go for a couple more minutes. I don't think we're going to finish the whole Amud. Says the Gemara, That's all good. If your kisusa is a proper arrangement, so that's how it's rabbanu can deal with alone with a mashkin with a derech of kisusa. What are you going to say? The Gemara explains the itmar we learned in a member of itmar typically amarayim kisusa pligibar of achav ravina. Achav ravina argue about kisusa. Chanam kisusa shari once says kisusa is a permissible arrangement. Chanam kisusa shari once says kisusa is aser. Again, the idea of kisusa is that the Hechadam Ketusa Limor explains right now, Tamalei, Ad Chamashana Machlina B'lein Nechaisa. For up to 5 years, I'll eat it without any reduction. Mekam Veilach, so a little different than what I said before. I was saying there's a reduction from day one. Here we're saying initially there's no reduction. I get to eat it for 5 years without reduction. Mekam Veilach, Shemini Lo Kuloperi. But from then on, I will treat every dollar for dollar of peris that I eat as a deduction from the loan. That's version number one in Ketusa. Some say, if you do it without reduction at all, that's for sure aser. This is the explanation we gave. Up until 5 years, I will deduct on a yearly rate based on the value of the loan. I'll deduct a certain value per year from the produce, the rights to the produce, not based on the amount of produce I eat. A fixed amount for the year, I'm going to deduct. And after that date, it won't be fixed. It'll be based on the peri. So that second amount is what we're referring to, that you're saying there's a price per year. Let's say, in our case was, the loan was for $1,000, and it was $250 per year, so that would eat up the whole loan. The Gemara's case is a little bit longer. Let's say the loan was for $1,500, and the deal was, for 4 years, we'll deduct $250 per year, fixed amount. And then after 4 years, or after 5 years, we're going to deduct price, the price based on each payri, not a yearly price, but based on each payri. But that would still be a case of ketusa, and we have machlekes between Rav Acha and Ravina, whether or not it works. The Gemara explains, manda mekamaisa sharp of svaisa. The one that says that the first case, manda asar mekamaisa. The one that says the first case is a problem where you're not deducting at all the first couple of years. So he'll say that's asar, but the second case, the svaisa, where you're deducting right away, that'll be mutter. Manda asbasvais, the one who says that even the basvais is asr. So then, according to him, how is there ever a case of a mashkin? Hey, kishar lemechel, how is there ever permitted to eat a mashkin? So that's Gemara Shari, ke mashkanta de surah. If you do mashkanta de surah, that'd be mutter. To kas behachi, where he writes as follows, the mishlam shani elain tepek ara double ekesev. Where you write, at the end of this amount of years, it goes out without any other consideration. So you're basically saying that the value that you owe in the loan is worth it for me to be able to eat the payers for this amount of years, period, end of story. That's a clear exchange for the value of the loan, and that's considered, that would not be any issue of ribbis at all. Even the Mandarma holds that these ketzaises don't work, would agree that that case, Mashkan Desura, does work. The Mar continues in this discussion about these mashkins, just a couple more lines, but it's too late. Let's pause over here. We'll have to try to catch up more tomorrow. Mitzvah, have a wonderful day. Actually, the one point I wanted to speak out before tomorrow we're not going to speak out anymore, was by Yaakov Avinu. This is where the Rush and the Rivash have this machlokes. Yaakov bought the brachas from Esav. Parsha told us we have the machlokes. So the question is, how was he? He was kainit with the lechem, with the zeradashim. He was kainit with the lentils. How was he kainit? The chayis davar shabayelam. The brachas, the bechira was a davar shabayelam. That is a big topic of conversation in the Mefarshim. So the Rush brings an idea that's why Yaakov made Yasef Shvua. He made him swear. He made him make a Shvua. If you read the Pesukim there, he made him make a Shvua. What was Makban a Shvua? Because Aide Shvua, it works. And the Rivash says, what? Since when do you find that Aide Shvua, a Dov Hashem should work? If it's Dov Hashem doesn't work, why is Shvua going to help? So on that, the Achreinim explained, Michas Asher, is where I saw most recently, but I've heard this in the past from others as well, I believe, that a beautiful explanation in the Chakir we said before, whether or not Dov Hashem is a problem of Smichas Das, or it's a problem of mechanics, it's not Bailam. If it's a mechanical problem, it's not Bailam. That's the Rivash Taina, so it doesn't help. He made a shvua. It's not paylum. It doesn't work. But if you hold that it's a vart smichas das, by a shvua, yes, smichas das. The buyer is going to be semich das. The seller is swearing. He's swearing that I'm semich das, even though it's not paylum. Normally, not paylum. I'm not semich das. But if something that he swore about, I'm semich das, and therefore it works. So the Rush held that the vart is a vart smichas das, and therefore it works with the shvua. Whereas the Rush held that even with smichas das, even with the shvua, it doesn't work because it's not a smichas das issue. It's a mechanics issue. That's what the Chorin explained that machlekes. But it's a big aside in the discussion of leib ha'ilam. Okay, let's pick up from the middle of Amav here tomorrow. Have a wonderful day.